Good. Well, thank you. Good morning to all. I want to say good morning to you, particularly Todd, sitting back there. Todd and Kendra, they gave their daughter in marriage yesterday evening, so it was a lot of you were able to be part of that. You take the cake for the greatest entry of the bridegroom coming in. That was great. He came in on there was a lake in the back of his house, and they came in on a raft with all the groomsmen, brought him in there. So next time you had to do a zip line next time. That would be a lot better. Okay. That was great. So I'm sure you're exhausted, and God bless you that you made it this morning. So it's amazing. So it was really a wonderful, wonderful experience. For those of you who don't know me, John Hoppler, and I was a member. My wife Sandy is sitting here, second row, and we were members here for the church. And many ways, we still are members. Still, we see ourselves that way, part of the church here. We used to live in Pataskala. We moved to Worthington when our kids moved out that way into town. So how many years was it we came here every single Sunday? Probably 15 or something like that, a lot of years. And so it's always a pleasure to come back and to be with each of you. I wanted to share something this morning, and also what I do for my work is I work with our church association, Great Commission Churches, director for the association. And so I get a chance to speak in churches. And I've done something over the last 8 or so months that I've never, ever done before. And that is I've been giving the same message in every church. Now, you might say, well, he's just doing that so he doesn't have to prepare more than one message. But actually, I've done it because I feel like this particular topic is so important that I'll be covering this morning. That's why I'm doing it. I'm sharing it every place. Somebody asked me, is it getting better every time? I said, I'm not really sure. We'll see on that one. But I want to start this morning by telling a little story of something that actually happened in this very building. It was one of the most significant things that happened in my entire life. And it happened about 6.5 years ago. And it was right down that hallway there, and you take a left in the little conference room there. And what had happened was there was a meeting of about 7 pastors who met together, and they were pastors who were at different parts of not only the country but the world. Somebody lived in Austria, others lived in Texas and Iowa and different places, and we all came together, and the purpose of the time was to resolve a conflict that had been going on for 34 years. 34 years there had been an unresolved issue, and I was amazed by the time. It was really a God time. It was a very special God time. And what I'm going to share this morning, I'm going to give a little secret to you, because I think we all have certain things in our lives where you feel stuck. You know, you might feel stuck maybe in your relationship with your husband or your wife, or maybe with a child or a parent, or maybe with an employer. Whatever it is, oftentimes we feel stuck, or actually we might feel stuck in our relationship with God himself. Well, I'm going to give you a gift this morning. This is really, I really believe, is going to help you. It's going to help me because I need to be reminded of it over and over again. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk, actually, about Jesus Christ. It's a good place to start, right? We want to talk about the Lord Jesus himself. And you know, when I mention the name Jesus Christ, what word comes into your mind? Jesus Christ. What? Go ahead and tell me. Holy. Okay.
Resurrection.
Resurrection. That's a good one. All right.
Savior.
Savior. Good. Yeah, Savior is a great one there. Any other? Any others?
Lord.
Love, I heard.
Lord.
All right. This must be a Christian place. I don't know. Okay. All right. What's the other one?
Humility,
good. Yeah, these are great qualities. This morning I want to look at a quality, and all these are right answers. All these are correct, absolutely correct. I want to look at a particular quality of Jesus that perhaps we don't think about too much. In fact, let me ask you another question. I won't ask for answers, but you can think about this. Think about somebody that you have met in your life, maybe you know very well today, and think about the very, very first time you met that person. What was your first impression of that person? Okay? And you know how first impressions aren't always the best impressions, but oftentimes first impressions really tell a lot about a person. I'll tell you about my wife, Sandy. The first time I met her was around Christmas time, 1975. She was a new Christian, and there's actually a Christmas party at the church I was part of. And I remember her walking in, and she just went around introducing herself to everybody. You know, she was a meet-or-greeter type person. She was very quick to enter into relationships with people, engage, and she's been that way ever since. And I want you to think about what's the first impression that we have of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at that today. We're going to look at a passage. It's in Luke chapter 2, and it'll be up on the screen here. So I just want to read this to you. Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. This is the story of Jesus when he was about 12 years old. It really is the only story that we have about Jesus when he was a little boy. It's the only one we have. And so, of course, we see the story of Jesus earlier on in Luke and in Matthew when he was born, but this is the very first time we actually see Jesus doing something. And I think it's quite instructive, as we'll see it here in just a bit. So let's read on here. The child to continue to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom. Let me just stop right there. Of course, Jesus was brought up in the Jewish society. He was immersed in the scriptures. Jesus knew the scriptures. That's what this society was all about. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That's what we hear and see in the Old Testament. And that's what Jesus did. So he was immersed in the scripture and he was growing in wisdom. Reading on, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan. That wasn't a car, that was something else, okay? But supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. Now let me ask you, parents, how many of you have ever forgotten your kid? Has that ever happened? Okay, all right. Out. You're out of here. All right, no. It's happened to us as well. Sandy and I, it's happened a couple times where we've forgotten that. Well, we have 8 children, so maybe we have a little more excuse. I'm not sure how many they had at this point, but so it happens. I think God just put this in here just to help us as parents, just to realize, okay, well, Mary and Joseph, they kind of blew it there, but so I guess we can, and he turned out okay. The Lord did, right? So anyways, going on here. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple. And this is the point of my message here I really want us to focus on. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. The very first picture we have of Jesus Christ, he's sitting, he's listening, and he's asking questions. He's sitting, he's listening, and he's asking questions. I thought about this, you know, here's the Lord, God the Father, he wants to display his Son. Yeah, he could have shown all kinds of qualities, but the very first picture we have of him, I think about like a movie, you know, Indiana Jones, you know, the first picture you see of Indiana Jones, he's courageously stealing that idol or whatever from that cave, you know, and he's running out of the cave and all that. You see this courageous guy. So that's the picture that the director of that movie wanted us to see. I think God, in one sense, he's a director. He wants us to point out this quality of Jesus, which he is sitting, he's listening, and asking questions. Why? Why is this? Because I think this is such an important quality. It is so important that God wanted to highlight this. And you know, it's not surprising because when you look in the Old Testament, You see, this emphasis upon being a good listener is so important. It's I don't know how many of you have done this. I see Tim there. You grew up with the read a proverb a day. Did you grow up with your dad? Didn't you go through a proverb a day with your father in the morning? And you know, I don't know how many of you have done that. I remember hearing years ago, just read a proverb a day. There's 31 of them. And you know, that's just a nice way to get to go through the scriptures. It's very interesting, the book of Proverbs. A lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. It's interesting how the way the book is laid out. The first 9 chapters, basically there's just one message that Solomon and the other writers of the book of Proverbs give, and that is, listen. listen, my son. Listen. And being a person who really listens well, and then he gives the wisdom, the rest of the book of Proverbs. And there's other times he reminds us to be good listeners. And so I wanted to talk today about 3 types of listeners, or 3 types of, yeah, 3 types of listening, 3 levels of listening. And as I go through this, a little bit of a warning to each of you, and that is this, what I'm going to share this morning is for you. It is not for the other guy or the other gal. All right? This is for you. And I've got to tell you this one story. I love this story about this guy. Older fella, he was named Harold, and he thought for sure that his wife was losing her hearing. And he asked the doctor, is there any way I can check to see if she's losing her hearing? Have you heard this story? Maybe you have. Anyway, so he says, his doctor gives him an idea on how he can test her without her coming into the doctor, because she wasn't all that excited about coming to the doctor. So what Harold did is he sat in the living room this one evening, and his wife was in the kitchen, and she was preparing the meal, and he calls out to her, and he says, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Nothing. So Harold gets up, he goes over, and he stands right next to the door of the kitchen. Her back is to him, and he says, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Nothing. He walks halfway into the kitchen, says it one more time, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Again, nothing. And finally, he goes right up to her. He puts his chin on her shoulder, and he says, honey, what are we having for dinner tonight? She turns around and looks at him and says, for the 4th time, chicken. All right? So, you know, it's always the other person. The other person's not the listener. They've got hearing problems, not me. Well, that's a good lesson for all of us, all right? Okay, I'm going to talk about 3 levels of listening, and why this came to my mind. This actually was born, this message, honestly, out of last fall during the political campaign, was one motivation for me on this one. So let me talk about 3 types of listening. The first one, let's go to that next slide. Level 1 is debaters listening. Okay, I don't want to get into politics here today, but I'm just going to ask you, how many of you watched the debates, any of the debates last year, Hillary and Trump and all that? Okay, that's what that was. You know, was Trump listening to Hillary during the debate? Yeah. Was she listening to him? Yeah. I mean, they were listening to each other. They were looking, but the purpose of a debater's kind of listening, which we do all the time, is I'm listening so that I can find out what they're saying so I can show them how they're wrong. That's the purpose of that kind of debaters type listening. You know, by the way, on this one, I got to say this. How many of you try to convince people through email, through an email means of communication? You ever try to do that? You get into a debate on email? Don't do that, okay? Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I will never use email. It's just a terrible means of communication. It's great for communicating information. It's not great for trying to resolve conflict, okay? If somebody says something to you that, you know, kind of gets you stirred up, here's what you do. Type the email and then delete it, okay? That's how you do it. You know, it's okay to type it, but just don't send it. That's what I found. So what happens with the debaters, again, you're going back and forth, you're really not truly listening, you're just trying to convince the other person. I'm going to give you one, a real practical one in our society. This is about a year or two ago, particularly this came out and I see this on Facebook or other places, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, okay? Then I see another email or Facebook post, All Lives Matter, or Blue Lives Matter, you know, and it goes back and forth like that. Now, I'm not going to get into all the reasoning for all the reasons. I mean, there's good things being said on both sides. Do Black Lives Matter? Yes, absolutely. Are there some issues there in related to our culture related to black? Absolutely, we need to be good listeners as to that. Are there some issues related to police, you know, that there's we don't have a sensitivity to? Absolutely. But what I'm trying to get at is I don't think it really helps in our debate when we're just getting into the debate. It's kind of like this back and forth. Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, we go back and forth. I don't think we really see the resolution of things that we want to see. I'd like to show you a better way, okay? So I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. Maybe I'm stirring up the pot here. I don't know what you all think about that, but let me go on to the next one. A second way of listening is what I would call arm's length listening. This is a level two listening. This is a little bit better than the debater's listening. And the way that works is you're interacting with a person and you're kind of arm's length. You're distant. They're saying things to you and you're letting some things in here and there and you're filtering it, which isn't always bad. It's not always bad. I think we are to look at things from a Christian worldview, for example. We look at from the lens of what does the Scripture say. So I'm always filtering things through what the Scripture has to say. So it's not really a bad way of saying it, but it's interesting. Jesus, just think about this. He was sitting, he was listening, and he was asking questions. Who was he doing that with? He was doing it with teachers of the Word there. Now, who wrote the Word? Jesus. He's the one who wrote it. And yet he's involved in sitting and listening and asking questions. I mean, Jesus could have just walked in and said, hey, I wrote this. Why don't you sit down? I'm going to talk to you about some things. He could have done that. But that's not the approach that he took. You know, Jesus Christ, someone mentioned he's the Savior. He came to save. You know, Adam sinned, and sin has spread throughout this world. There's death, and Jesus Christ came to restore what was lost in Adam. And he came into this world, and he came as a servant. He came as a humble servant, which gets into the last level, which I want to talk about, which is incarnational listening. This is, I think, the standard of Jesus. Why do I use the phrase incarnational? What does that word mean? Incarnational, we talk about the incarnation at Christmas time. It's where God became a man. In incarnational listening, what happens is you go and you put yourself into the very place where that other person is, and you begin looking at the world from their perspective. It's really like you take a trip. You ever thought about this with Jesus? He took the biggest mission trip anyone ever took. He went from heaven to earth, and he came down, he took on human flesh, and he actually understood the way we think and the way we see things. And it wasn't just an intellectual experience for him. It was a whole life experience where he was able to actually sit down in the other person's chair and understand us. He could sympathize with our weaknesses. This, to me, is really where we're making progress, is when we go to incarnational listening. So I want to go back to this issue I mentioned about even the Black Lives Matter issue, because this came up a little. It's always coming up here in our society, but it was much more prominent, newly introduced here a few years ago. And I had a pastor friend, Terry Lewis, part of our Association of Churches up in Grace Point. And Terry lives. The church there is in a part of Columbus. And it's mainly a white church. Let's just tell you, mainly a white church. And Terry is a man who's he loves all people. If you know him, well, he just loves people. But he realized for himself he really needed to take some steps he had never taken before. He needed to do this incarnational listening. Anyways, one day well, he had decided this one Sunday to give a talk about racial reconciliation. And it just so happened that early that week, he was selling his car, and he went into a car dealership, and he was selling it to him, and the woman who was dealing with him happened to be black, and she asked him, what are you doing the rest of this day? She asked, and he said, well, I'm preparing a message for Sunday on racial reconciliation. And she put her pen down and says, oh, really? I'd like to hear about that. And over the next 45 minutes, you know what Terry did? He sat and he listened and he asked questions. And he realized, you know, I don't know what it means to be a black person in a culture that's primarily white. And he took time to listen. And he just sat there and listened and listened and listened. And he grew that day. I think Jesus, when he sat and he listened and asked questions, why did he take the time to do that with people that he knew the Bible better than them? Because he loved them. And he needed to understand them. And he really understand from the standpoint that they're coming from. We really believe in truth. I really believe there is one truth. I believe God is God, and Jesus did die, and he rose from the dead. He created the world. We understand what truth is, but I think if we are going to really bring others, and ourselves for that matter, into an understanding of the truth, we have to follow the path of Jesus, which I think means being an incarnational listener. I want to look at a verse. It's the next slide there, 1 Peter 3:8. This is one of my favorite verses. It's a great verse on marriage. In fact, it's after a whole section of 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7, talk about marriage, and then verse 8 is, in many ways, kind of the exclamation point for the whole section where he talks about roles of husbands and wives. But here's what he says. To sum up, Peter said this, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. That word harmonious is a great word. It means harmonious. It means being united is what it means. The next word there, sympathetic, is a very significant word. It means the idea of listening with empathy, being an empathetic person. It's this idea of being a person who's really understanding the others. And I have seen this, that whenever you are truly doing the sympathy, the harmony happens. The key to harmony is the sympathy part. And let me go through some examples that affect me and you. Let's talk about the marriage relationship first and foremost. If you have a husband who spends time truly trying to understand the way his wife is thinking, and he's taking that step, pausing, seeking first to understand, then to be understood. And then if you have a wife also who's being that way towards her husband, she's trying to understand the way he is thinking, I'm going to make a bold statement. I think divorce is impossible. I think it's impossible. There's just something about two individuals who have a relationship with God, of course, is the bottom line. I've even seen, by the way, people that don't have a relationship with God who do this, and they stay married. That's what I've seen. So, but if we are people who are really learning how to listen to the other and really trying to understand, and this is not easy because, like for Sandy and me, I am not a woman and she's not a man. So it's a little bit challenging to try to think things through her lens. But you know, God became a man too, right? That was a pretty big jump that he took. So, you know, in the marriage relationship, let me give you another one. And it's a very significant one that I know affects so many here, and that is the parent-child relationship. This is a huge one. The greatest conference that I have ever gone to in my entire life, the greatest conference I ever went to in my entire life was one that I went through with my daughter, my oldest daughter, Faith, and was back, it was probably about 1992 or 3 or thereabouts. She was in high school, which, as we know, high school years are always challenging years for teens and for parents as well. You may have heard the story about Abraham. You know, this is the old joke, terrible joke. Abraham, God asked him to sacrifice Isaac when he was 12? Because if he asked him to sacrifice him when he was 13, it wouldn't have been a sacrifice. You know, that's the idea. You know, when you turn teens, it's very difficult. You know, and so I think what it is, as kids are getting older and older, it's a little bit more challenging. You liked that one, didn't you? All right. But the issue with teens, we really have a difficult time. They're looking for the independence. And what has to happen, I think, with parents is we're always parents. We'll never stop being parents. But we need to be more like Jesus here on this one and really excelling at being that empathetic listener, learning to understand what they're going through and having that patience. And similarly, and this is a challenge, and this shows maturity for the teens or the 20-year-old or whatever, they're that way towards their parents. Boy, that's when you have real maturity. You know, I want to grow up and be an independent person. Well, let me tell you, you'd be like Jesus and be like him when he was 12, that who was sitting, he was listening, and he was asking questions. You know, when you're a good listener, you're really being very, very secure. So I think that father-son or mother-daughter relationships or father-daughter, you know, mother-son relationship is so, so very important. Let me give you another one, is employer-employee. Ever have problems with your employer? Ever have problems with your employee? We go through it. And there's something dynamic that happens when you just take a moment and say you're the employee and you try to put yourself in the employer's viewpoint. Just stay there for a couple minutes. And just imagine putting yourself in their shoes for a little bit, being that incarnational listener. It's amazing what happens. I got this was not quite that story, but it was similar. This happened just this week. Sandy was having some physical therapy done, and I was with her, and I was in the office, and I was just sitting there reading, and there was the receptionist who was also their bookkeeper for this establishment. She was working something on the phone about working through the payments, and it's a whole thing, isn't it, Todd? I mean, working through having things paid for and all that, and insurance companies, and she got off the phone. She went, "Oh, boy, this is tough." And I got into talking with her. I said, "Boy, I know it's a tough thing, isn't it? Kind of working through that." And basically, I just practiced this. Did a lot of empathetic listening to her, and we were talking about 2 minutes. She started asking, "What do you do for a living?" Or she started asking me, And it's just amazing how much when you engage another person in this way, it's very, very attractive. Most people don't feel like they're listened to or they're understood. It's an amazing thing, which gets to another key one, and that is evangelism. We all, I think, desire to see people one to Jesus Christ. We all do. We want to see people come to understand Jesus Christ. Well, a key way to do it? Be Jesus. Be Jesus in this way. Be a good listener and a genuine listener, not just, most debating listening is kind of like this. I'm listening just long enough so I can finally tell what I want to say. I'm not talking about that kind of listening. It's patience. You'll have opportunity. Jesus sat, he listened and asked questions, and as it later on said, they were amazed by his answers. It's amazing what happens when you're a good listener, how much they begin asking you questions, just like this receptionist did yesterday, a few days ago when I talked to her. And so I think in this aspect of evangelism is so critical. About 6 months or so ago, I began engaging in a conversation with an individual who is part of the gay community here in Columbus. I thought, here in America, it seems like we have, these going back and forth, this lot of antagonism going on between groups. Now, I want you to know very clearly, I know what the Bible says, and I believe it strongly. I believe that marriage is a covenant relationship between one man and one woman, period. No doubt about it. No compromise on that. And the sexual relationship is only for a man and a woman who are in a covenant relationship. So, anyways, having said that, understanding that, now I come in the name of Jesus. And what I've engaged with this one individual is we've been engaging in a conversation. This person is somewhat of a leader in the gay community. And so he knows just where I stand on things. I'm not compromising a bit on that. But it's been a very respectful relationship. And it's interesting, I've seen some of his attitudes change and even his views change on some things. Very interesting, you know. So we're not on the same page on everything. I don't want to give a wrong impression. But it takes a lot of time. It really does take a lot of time, and it's really, really worth it. So the question I wanted to ask here, just in a few remaining minutes, is put that question, why don't we go to this level three listening? I'd be interested in what your answers are on this. Why don't we do this? Yeah, Paul?
It's easier to talk.
It's easier to talk. Yeah.
We're afraid.
Who, yeah?
We're afraid.
Yeah. Can you embellish that? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's easy to imagine that you are right and solidly right when you're not engaging in this level of listening and trying to actually understand where the person is coming from with those viewpoints that are diametrically opposed to yours.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Right. You're afraid. Maybe fear of the unknown a little bit. I think some of that. I think that's a really very
vulnerable.
Yeah. And like how vulnerable in what sense?
Like what he was saying.
Yeah.
You're like opening yourself up, or you're just.
Yeah.
Because you might find you actually are wrong.
Yeah.
And we know that's not true. That can't be true. I can't be wrong. Obviously, I'm me, right? You know, I can't be wrong. Right. Right. What's that now? You know, that's a big one. I think we're very busy, and I don't have the time for this. And I ought to mention this, because some asked, I did this seminar at Faith Walkers, and one of the questions is, I can't do this with everybody. Like this receptionist, you know, Sandy and I didn't spend the last 3 days talking with her. You know, that's not the nature of it. You got to prioritize relationships. With your husband or your wife, very important. Crucial, absolutely crucial. With your child or your parents, crucial, okay? And people that are very, very important to you. But I think regardless of how much, you might only have a few minutes with a person, you might have an hour, but during that time, if you are really walking, this is, to me is walking in the Spirit. If you're doing that with that person and you're being a very, very good listener, and we don't think we have the time. Another one, maybe one of you are going to say this, I don't think it's really worth it. Maybe it's another way of saying it. It's not going to really yield any fruit if I do this, right? It would be much better if I just took the time and let's just read through these Bible verses together. I believe in reading through the Bible together. I really believe that. I get a sense, though, for so many people today, you know, they don't want to listen, they want to hear it. They need, like Jesus here, he started with sitting, listening, and asking questions. And we don't think it's going to be worth the time that I'm investing in that person. And I want to tell you right now, it's worth it. It may not seem like it is, but it really is. I want to tell you about this, finish off the story I mentioned at the beginning of my message, is we're involved in this conversation with these pastors, and this is what happened during the time. We finally got to the point where we went from debaters or arm's length to really incarnational listening. And actually, it was kind of the culmination of a process that took a 6-month process. And that was that meeting that we had was the culmination of that. The fruit that has come from that is astounding. There are people that have come to Christ because of that meeting. You know, we could have gone out door-to-door witnessing that day, which would be great. I'm for that too. But I'm telling you, at that moment in time, this was what was really needed. A lot of those pastors who had been involved together for many, many years now are involved together in the gospel together, overseas, other places. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. My good friend Tom Shore, a lot of you have heard him speak. He has a book called 5 Crucial Questions, which evangelism book. Because of that meeting, that book has been translated into other languages, Austrian and German and some others. You know, so all these things came as a result of some people who took the time to do incarnational listening. Sometimes we won't see the benefit right away, but you will. And it's very, very exciting to see, okay? Okay, any other thoughts here? I don't want to close out. Any other reasons why we don't do this? at all? Okay, yeah.
You might have to get involved in helping a
person. You might have to get involved in helping a person. It's kind of messy, yes. That's right. Right. It's hard work. It's hard work. It really is. But I'm telling you, it really is worth it. Let me just close with one last verse, and I think this is a familiar verse. I know this is the verse that's affected our particular church association. It's the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, give you a little different spin on this here. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Well, what's a disciple? A disciple is a student, right? What's a student? A student is a learner, right? And what's a learner? It's a listener. So I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say, go therefore and make listeners of all the nations. I don't think that's too far of a stretch. Who do we listen to? God, right? That's who we listen to. We listen to God. In fact, this idea of incarnational listening, theological issues, you know, this has really been helpful to me over the last number of years as I've thought through things theologically, that is I like to see myself as sitting up on God's lap and looking at, reading the Bible from his perspective. Why did you say it that way? And it's really dynamic. It's a lot of dynamic. And also with theological issues is listening to the other person. You know, there's all kinds of people with all kinds of theological ideas that are different than mine. I can either say, well, I've read the Bible. I know what's right. He disagrees. He must be wrong. You're out the door. I don't think that's the way it works. I think if a person really loves Jesus Christ, he may see some things or she may see some things that I don't see. And so I think it's in the context of learning and listening to each other that God really gives wisdom. I really believe that. So I think we are to be learners and listeners to God first and foremost, and then to one another, and then, you know, to the world that we are looking to reach. And I think if we can get really, really good at this, if I can get good at this, if Sandy and our kids can get good at this, and you and your families and everyone that's important to you can get really, really good at this, of taking that trip, taking that mission trip, as it were, and really sitting in that other person's chair and seeing things from his or her standpoint, you know what'll be? Heaven. That's called heaven. That's what I think. I think it'll be heaven on earth, and I think that's what heaven's going to be. We will know God fully, really. We'll really understand him. We'll really know and understand each other. I think it's really what heaven is going to be. I really do. So anyways, hopefully that's helpful to you, and I know it's really been a help to me. So let me just go ahead and pray in closing. Lord, I want to thank you for your example there in Luke chapter 2, how you sat, you listened, you asked questions. This is who you are. Lord, it's even encouraging for me to think of this, Lord, that you didn't stop being this way even this day. You sit and you listen and you ask me questions and you ask all of us questions. Thank you, Lord. You listen to us and you care for us and you know what we're going through. And you are so beautiful. You are so wonderful. And Lord, I know everyone, I think I speak on behalf of everyone in this room, we want to be like you. We want to be that perfection of humility, as someone shared earlier, even that quality. Lord, we want to be people who are humble before God. We want to be humble before each other. And we know, Lord, that when we are, that you just pour grace upon us. So please help us be that way. Remind us of this. We want to be just like you. And when it's all said and done, we will give you all the credit and all the glory, Father. We thank you for your son, Jesus. Amen.
Well, thank you, John, for that one.